By Brett Cotton, who's going to come and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Brett?
I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unifies himself with a prostitute, unites himself with a prostitute, is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Thank you, Brett. I bet some of you that had ever read that passage didn't know there's such a thing in the Bible, right? Might shock you if you have not read that passage, but it's there. I want to just take a moment to start with this illustration. How many of you saw the movie that Mel Gibson starred in, Braveheart? Oh, okay. That's pretty good. It's been around a number of years, but man, can you remember that scene when he's laying and they're disemboweling him? Man, I can't get that one out of my head. You remember that part? That was terrible, but that's not what I want to mention. There's a scene in Braveheart where Robert the Bruce's evil father is whispering lies to him about treason and compromise. He says to Robert what the enemy says to us in a thousand ways. All men betray. All men lose heart. Now, how does Robert answer? He yells back, I don't want to lose heart. I want to believe like Wallace does. I will never be on the wrong side again. I take this quote from, not straight from the movie, but this is from John Eldridge's book, Wild at Heart, which I would recommend that you read. And here he is yelling, I will never be on the wrong side again. I will never be on the wrong side again. In our world, there is an issue where many men have come down on the wrong side, and it is the issue of sexual purity. Proverbs 30, verses 18 through 19 says, it's very interesting and it's almost even funny when you hear these words. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. And the fourth is the way of a man with a maid. Man, I guess some of us, we just can't figure out women, right, guys? So it's amazing to the writer of Proverbs, just amazing, the way of a man with a young girl. The relationships between men and women, those relationships have been one of both delight and disaster, especially in the area of sexuality. And I will confess to you that before I became a Christian, before I came to Jesus, I came down on the wrong side. Is this not an important area of the life of a man, and yes, women, but I'm focusing primarily on men today, but I think you women will catch on real quick. Is this not an important area?
Yes, sir.
Now, don't lie. Don't run. Yes, sir. It is very important.
Yes,
it's a very sensitive subject, and yet it is a very powerful area of life. Our theme this morning is real men live sexually pure lives. Can you imagine me writing a book, Real Men Live Sexually Pure Lives? I don't think it'd ever make the New York Times best-selling list. I don't think it would. I don't think Hollywood would ever do a movie about it. It's probably certainly even a sensitive subject for Sunday morning, even though some of you that are newer, or those of you that have been here a while, may remember that about 11 years ago, I preached the series on real men pray, real men cry, and I included in that, real men live sexually pure lives. Let me remind us of a few things before we really get into this, because what we're going to do is answer two questions. The sex was created by God. Did that surprise anybody? I hope not. Pause for a good illustration. A good friend of mine is a pastor in West Virginia, and we'd get together and we'd talk about pastoral stuff, and he did premarital counseling. I do premarital counseling, and some of you have been in my office, and you might remember me telling this brief story. He was counseling a young couple. They were planning to get married, and he noticed that the girl was just a little bit on the strange side. Sorry, it was the girl, not the guy. And he started... My friend, the pastor, started becoming a little more descriptive in the premarital talk about sexuality. And just out of the blue, she goes, "And he will not do that to me." So my pastor friend goes, "Whoa, we got a serious problem here." And of course, he met with them, and they did not get married, by the way. Sex is for both procreation and pleasure. That shocks some people. We'll talk about that in the privacy of my office sometime, or maybe with a group of men or with a group of women. It wasn't just for procreation. Sexual adultery is still one of the major reasons for divorce, even among Christians. And not that it has to be. I believe there is always forgiveness and healing and God's grace. Now, let me give you a definition. So when I use this phrase, sexual impurity, what do I mean by it? It includes everything from fornication to adultery, pornography, homosexuality, and yes, sad to say, and I say this because it is real, and it is even mentioned in the Bible, and that is bestiality. Why should men live sexually pure lives? See, there are people that do not necessarily believe that. Maybe it's because of cultural hang-ups that, you know, you're a man, I mean, just go for it, you know, get lucky or whatever the phrase you want to use. Many couples, including Christians, sleep together before they are married with justifications. We live in a sexually permissive culture. Over the last few weeks, I've recommended that you read Os Guinness's book, Impossible People. He lays some of the groundwork of why we as a culture are moving in certain directions. And certainly the subject of sexual purity has come up in the context of presidential candidates, not only now, but over the years. I want to answer two questions this morning. We might go just a few moments longer, so be patient. Two vital questions. Why should real men live sexually pure lives? Why? And then second, the obvious question, how can real men live sexually pure lives? And our focus is on men. This is for men, certainly for women, for dating couples, for singles, for teens, even for junior hires. Because if you... In my pre-Christian days, I would have gone and jerked him off the lawnmower. But God is teaching me patience. I pray for Jim all the time, that the lawnmower would break down. No, I don't. I really don't. I feel like it sometimes. So let's do the first question from 1 Corinthians 6. Why should real men live sexually pure lives? The answer first, there are several basic categories to answering this. And the foundational issue, sexual immorality, is sin. No amens there? That's okay. Sexual immorality is sin. And I say that because we are evolving away from that, even within the evangelical church. You know, us who are born-againers, Bible believers, Spirit-filled, sexual immorality is sin? Nah, can't be. Yes, it is. That's what Scripture says. Verse 18 of chapter 6, flee sexual immorality, all other sins, and we'll get to the all other in a moment. Sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, pornography, homosexuality, they are all sins. Let's not pull any punches here. I'm going to call it like Scripture calls it. Verse 9 and 10 of this powerful passage from the writer Paul. Listen to it. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders will inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's pretty strong, isn't it? Cut that out, throw it away. It's not relevant for our culture. No, don't do that. This is God's word. Sexual morality, sexual impurity is a sin, and the offender will not inherit the kingdom of God, both now and eternity, unless by God's grace there's repentance and seeking forgiveness, and there is always that opportunity. So sexual morality is sin. Second, sexual sins violate our own bodies. That might be a new one to some. Verse 18, he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Verse 19 adds to that and says that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amazing thought, isn't it? Now remember, the Apostle Paul, in writing Corinthians, was addressing the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth, he was talking to Christians. He wasn't talking to people out there specifically or primarily. It would be like him coming here on a Sunday morning and saying, I want to address the church. I'm not worried about the people in Trenton or over in Robbinsville or somewhere else. I want to talk to the church right here. Christians who are born again by God's Spirit have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us in our spirits. And sexual sins violate the temple being our body. Oh, I got it somewhere. Here it is. Hold on. I got to stop getting too animated. Huh? I only got to get one of those clear ones that come around your ear. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Sexual sins violate the temple, our bodies. See, on earth, God does not dwell in buildings. God does not dwell in this building at 380 Edinburgh Road Chapel. When Christians leave, the Holy Spirit leaves. And I say that in a very specific way. Certainly, God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. But very specifically, he leaves. He does not indwell in a building, a temple, or anything like that. So sexual sins, and let me be cautious here, sexual sins, not legalistic man-made laws or pharisaical legalistic laws, sexual sins violate our bodies. But I mean pharisaical sins like, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you should not eat unrefined sugar. I've heard that. Or because your body is the Holy Spirit, temple of the Holy Spirit, you should never have a glass of wine. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's not what this passage is saying. Let's make sure we do our hermeneutics right. And that's how we interpret Scripture. Let the passage tell us what it says. It's in reference to sexual sins. Sexual sins are sins against our body. Not whether I have a glass of wine or what should we say in Ireland? A pint of beer or something, you know? That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about sexual sins. Third reason is that our bodies are not our own. Man, if it was my own, I might have wished that would have been about 6'4", you know. But God wanted me 5'6", so thank you, Jesus. You know what that's all about. But our bodies are not our own. Paul says this, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. Did you know you were bought with a price? The blood of Jesus purchased you. Our bodies, God's temple, are not ours to do with as we selfishly desire. This is where sexual sins comes in. Not to do with whatever we desire. They are the Lord's. Our bodies are the Lord's. Man, that affects my brain. That affects my body, my hands, my eyes, my ears, my thoughts. Everything. It's not mine, it's His. Body's not mine. So sexual sins, impurities, are a blatant display of self over God's will concerning our physical bodies, which are really His, to be used for His glory and for His purposes. So that's the why to sin. Now the second question, and so often this is, it can be ignored or not taught in the right way. And the question is, how can real men live sexually pure lives? How is it possible? Is it possible? Yes. Well, let's look what Paul says here. He says, flee from sexual immorality. Verse 18, flee from sexual immorality. Note, listen to me carefully, because here's where a lot of men, and maybe women, make a mistake. He does not say, flee from women or from men. He says, flee from sexual immorality. Praise God, we are not radical jihadist Muslims that insist, you know, I know this probably is being taped. I've seen Muslim guys, you know, in flip-flops, Bermuda shorts, tank tops, and their wife on a 90-degree August day is covered everything but her eyes. I'm going, Lord, man. See, we don't want to go there. Because that's not the answer. You can't blame the woman. So when Paul's talking about fleeing, he's not talking about fleeing women. I'm used because we're focusing on men. He says flee the sexual immorality. Flee the sin. See, there's some people's approach. I'll never go to the beach, you know. Oh, pious me. There's girls down there in bikinis and I don't want to go there. Yeah, if that's your only way of dealing with sexual impurity, you got a problem. Now, don't misunderstand me. Somebody's going to misunderstand me. There are times like Joseph in Egypt where Potiphar's wife threw herself at him and he had to get out of the house. There's times, but that's rare. If you come into my office, and on occasion I have to meet with women, I sit behind my desk, and for some reason, I think it might be subliminal, I don't know, subconscious, the stack of books and papers keeps building higher over the years. It's like I'm building a wall, you know. But the door's always open. The door's open. I'm sitting behind my desk. There's going to be no opportunity. And I keep the door down the steps. It's going to be open because if I have to run, I'm running. That's never had to happen. The only time it came close, and some of you know this story, some of you newer ones won't. Wawa, getting coffee for Connie. Fixing coffee. And I know I'm cool and I'm not a bad looking dude. That's what Connie says. I'm just quoting her, and I'm fixing coffee for her, and I'm stirring the coffee, and a woman in her 50s comes up, and this is probably about 8 or 10 years ago, and she stands beside me and goes, oh, I like your aftershave, you know. I knew she was hitting on me. She, Now, what should have I done? Hey, honey, what's your name? Phone number, email address, where do you live? You know, the Holy Spirit, praise God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says to, through me, yeah, my wife picks it out. And she goes, oh. And that's the end of the thing. But there are times where you have to flee. I'm not saying don't ever run from a situation. But the key here is to flee from the sin. We are to run from the sexual sins. Recognize that they are sins. All those things that I just mentioned, they are sins. And despise them as sins. They are a violation of God's will. And you need to make sexual purity a core value of your life. See, I have to be careful standing here speaking, because I don't want to come across as I'm super great, perfect, wonderful. That's not my purpose. I have seen pornography. Okay? I hope that doesn't shock you too bad. I don't watch pornography, but I have seen it. But I don't want to be a statistic. See, I don't want to be that someday I have to sit down and I praise God my kids are all older and married and have grandkids that are married and great-grandkids that are growing up. I don't want them to one day have to sit down and say, yeah, we loved Pop-Up, but he had this problem. See, I don't want to be a statistic. Connie will tell you, I have never, in 51 years of marriage, ever cheated on her sexually. And she'll tell you why. And you could see her nodding her head in a moment. And that is because my commitment is to Jesus Christ first and then her. Yes. Jesus comes first, then my wife. So my core value is certainly I don't want to hurt her and my kids and my grandkids and great-grandkids. And I don't want them someday to say, yeah, Pop-Up was a wonderful guy and he did this. But, man, he hurt my mom real bad. I don't want to be a statistic. My core value is to follow Jesus. Now, I'll honestly say, the situation with the coffee at Wawa, there have been opportunities, okay? Connie can't never know their names. Honor God with your body. Verse 20, honor God with your body. What does that mean daily? Or practically to honor God with your body. I want to offer a couple of suggestions. One is that if we're honoring God with our body, we will love God and our neighbor as ourself. We will love God and our neighbor as ourself. See, the priority in life, top priority in life, to love God, body, soul, mind, and spirit, and to love our neighbor as ourself. In other words, if I love my neighbor, and in this case, as a man, we're going to focus on a woman neighbor, be that next-door neighbor, somebody I work with, somebody I have association with, etc. Women in my life, in other words. If I love the female people in my life, I will not use them or abuse them. I will not use them or abuse them for sexual purposes. See, you cannot, it's impossible to love your neighbor and be involved with them sexually. Don't believe Satan's lies that it's love or the grass is greener or, and here's the big one, because sometimes men can be wimps. You deserve it. Oh my. You deserve it. You know your wife. You know what she's like. And you know what you've been through. And you know it's that time of the month kind of thing, you know. And you deserve it. That's a lie from Satan. Second, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, go back to the situation at Wawa with that woman. Stirring coffee, and she likes the smell of my aftershave. And I go, hey, thank you, dear. man, you're a good-looking girl. I'm glad you noticed me, you know. You think we could hook up someday? What's your name? What's your phone number? She doesn't know me. She's never met me. Just kind of attracted to me. Sunday, here I am, preaching. There she comes down the aisle. Whoa. I am caught. You get the picture? Now, men will be honest, ladies. I don't know if you know this. Men know when women are giving them the eye, you know, so to speak. Do women still use that phrase? I don't even know. I'm getting that old. I'm forgetting what the phrases are. But men know that. Hey, man, she's kind of like, she's interested in me. Men know that. And I know there are physical attractions, just the way God made us. Men like women, period. But sometimes, and women have a hard time understanding this, it doesn't always involve sexuality. It's just like looking at a beautiful sunset. Man, she's a pretty woman. There's no sexual thoughts at all. Or that's a beautiful cardinal. Man, she's a pretty woman, you know. That's not necessarily bad. It's when it steps beyond that. So we as men, we have to make sure that we're not going to put ourselves in a situation that we're ashamed of the gospel, because now we have used a woman or we've taken advantage of a situation and the sexual impropriety has put a barrier between us and them. Then, of course, our goal is that if we really love our neighbor, we may not know her name. We're not going to use them or abuse them. Click on the pornography. Turn the page of the pornography. That woman is somebody's wife, daughter, mother, or sister. She's somebody. She's not a nobody. She's somebody that God loves. And Jesus loves them. And he wants that person to come to know Jesus. Whatever reason that she's involved in that lifestyle, maybe because she likes it, or she's desperate. She's somebody that God loves. And I am not going to use her for my purposes. And finally, with our bodies, every thought is to be brought captive to the obedience to Jesus Christ. You want to know how to deal with sexual impurity? Every thought brought captive to obedience to Jesus. And this is where so many men, and of course women too, mess up. Because that's where it starts. It starts right here. It starts with the thoughts. It could be, woe is me, poor me, I deserve this. Or man, who's going to ever know? Or, why not? Everybody else does it, why not me? And we're going to win or lose right there. That's why Paul says, bring every thought captive to obedience to Jesus. So when those opportunities come, and I speak as a man, and I'm not quite over the hill yet. I might be getting close, but I'm not there. Remember, I still ride a Harley, so. The temptation will come. Again, from a man's perspective. Pretty woman. Pretty girl. Computer. No longer hiding Playboy under the bed. It's just a couple clicks away. That's all. My goal in life is for you, Jesus. So my thoughts now, oh, Satan will come. It's not so bad. That's not the worst thing. There's worse things in the world. You know, you don't kill anybody. You're not hurting anybody. Don't believe that. Every thought brought captive to obedience to Jesus Christ. See, we are responsible for our thought life, not God. We are responsible for our thought life, not God. We are not little God puppets or robots where God controls our thoughts. He allows us to make those choices. He gives us that personal responsibility. Real men live sexually pure lives. Let's summarize. Why? Sexual immorality is sin. Sexual sins violate our own bodies, and our bodies are not our own. They belong to Him. How can we have victory? We need to flee from sexual immorality. Recognize that it is sin. Despise it. Despise it as sin because it violates God's will as a sin against our body. And then we honor God with our body, loving God as we love our neighbor as ourself. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't put yourself in a situation with a person of the opposite sex that's going to compromise the gospel and bring every thought captive to obedience to Jesus. Always recognize and remember that there is forgiveness. Because of God's grace, no matter where we've been or what we've done, there's forgiveness and there's healing and there's victory. Flee sexual immorality. Let's stand for prayer. Take a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. We'll start with the end. Whatever you've been caught up in, there's forgiveness. There's grace. You have to make the choice. Do it Jesus' way or your own way. Will you follow Jesus? It's always for our best. Thank you, Father, for your presence. You're so awesome. Your word is so wonderful. It brings freedom. I pray as we leave this room, this building, that we will be aware of your presence. Every thought will be brought captive to obedience to you, Jesus. Guide us, bless us. Let us breathe in that presence for your glory, I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.